What's the
path?
Yeah.
To learn yourself?
Yeah.
Hazreti Mevlana says there are as many paths as the number of breaths. Everybody has his or her own path. Maybe you're asking, what is our path? What is our path to learn ourselves? We believe that the reason why we cannot learn ourselves, we do not want to see ourselves, is because we have this enemy which we are actually fighting in on our path, which is our ego. We are blind because we are ambitious. We don't understand what is going around us because we are stupid, and stupidity is a byproduct of being arrogant. Pride, ambition, unbounded ambitions, hatred and vengeance are closing the tools, the light, as to say, to show us where the right path is. Mainly this path, on this path, to be able to open ourselves to the truth, we choose to cleanse ourselves from those evil qualities that blind ourselves, our consciousness. We are hoping to polish our hearts so that all the beautiful qualities of our Creator that we receive only through our hearts, we can reflect. And that guides us. When we look at with His light. When we touch with His power. When we speak the truth guided by Him. But that's all. This our fight is with ourselves. Our path is we wage a war. Yeah, our path is a war, but with our own selves. Because it's only your own self who doesn't want to see, your own ego who doesn't want to see himself, because it's ugly. We neither want to see anything wrong in ourselves, nor we want to hear about it. That's why we are extremely sensitive when somebody criticizes. We don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. It's not how I see myself. Don't change it. I'm comfortable with myself. Which we are not open to the truth that way. Because the truth sometimes hurts. Like it hurt Inspector Javert, it hurt Jean Valjean. One decided to transform, the other one did not.
Sure. In the ayat of Kursi, there's a line, وَلَّا يَهِدُونَ بِشَعِينَ إِلَّا بِمَشَعَ. And mankind shall encompass none of the divine knowledge except that which has been ordained. Would it not be fair to say that perhaps this line applies not just to divine knowledge, but to all knowledge in general? We can make certain observations, draw certain conclusions. But the fact of the matter is that everything that we observe is pretty much a partial truth. We might think we understand how the system works, but the fact of the matter is that there may be hidden variables, there may be components to the system which make the conclusion that we draw either a very partial one, if not a completely erroneous one. Given this, I suppose there's a question of what is right action, what is proper understanding, in the sense that we might do our level best, but we simply...
What opens our understanding, what opens our consciousness, what opens our eyes, what clears our mind so that we, when we look, when we make a decision, the decision is right. When we look, we can see things, not only the externals of it, but the essence of it. Actually, this is a fundamental question. And then, again, we do not subscribe to the notion that there are divine knowledge and there is another type of knowledge. We believe that nothing is Allah Ta'ala, but all and everything is from Him. There isn't anything that does not reflect one of His qualities. Mainly all the things that we are observing, the contrast that we see, comparisons that we make, all is revealing His qualities. There is nothing but Him. When we become a Muslim, how do you become a Muslim? It's very simple. How do you become a Muslim? You say, I become a witness. Ashhadu an la. I become a witness. That is, I'm going to make an observation here, and I promise to be an honest witness that there is no God but Him, which means that all and everything from Him, and I'm here to observe your quality. If you're not seeing His qualities, if that is because of the because of your ego, which is blinding you, that's true for almost everything. Many scientists, they cannot really approach the truth. Forget the religion and everything else. We are talking about now, not religion or theology. We are talking about positive science here. They cannot achieve what they have to achieve because they are so much attached to their own assumptions, and they don't want to think out of the box. All and everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. If He wants you to see certain things, He will open your eyes. But then you have to really be ready. You have to prepare yourself to receive that truth. We receive the truth every day, but we can't handle it. When we cannot handle the truth, we close our eyes to it. We don't accept the truth because we can't. Our ego doesn't want to absorb it. If we can let ourselves, if we can submerge ourselves to the truth, no matter what we are going to be after that, then we will be able to see things much better. I think we can even pass through the physical limitations of this life if we can achieve to the level that we are ready to give up all the dependencies of the physical dependencies that we have, all the needs, all the desires, all the ambitions. If we are ready to give all these things up, I think another realm is going to open to us, which we believe. That's one of the reasons we are just stuck to where we are right now. There are so many attachments. There are so many things that actually holds us to move forward. Your children, your wives, husbands, your car. Because we are so much really tied to many things in life that we cannot release. Because of that, we cannot see many things. We are not free. That's the problem. We are imprisoned. Our thoughts are imprisoned. Our movements are imprisoned. How can you expect us to see and discover things? I don't know if you watched that documentary, Particles. Particle? What is this? Particle. Some particle. You know, this CERN, they are looking for this. They are trying to measure this coefficient. So, all the theories that we know about physics is based upon the fact that at the beginning, all the particles are connected to each other and there's an associated coefficient with that. So they're kind of trying to find out the smallest particle that everybody else actually is created out of. So there's a model. They have a model of particles. They have a model of particles, and those parts, to be able to hold, to be able to have this model validated, they have to show to discern, they have to create those particles, and they have to see that those particles are really connected, stick to each other, and there's an associated coefficient. There are hundreds of scientists, their whole life depends on the assumption that that coefficient is less than something. The whole education, the PhDs, thousands of papers that they wrote is really relying on that coefficient that they are trying to find out. It's an assumption, and everything is built upon that assumption. You know, hundreds of scientists all around the world are waiting for the result of that test. And then somehow there was a technical problem and it was delayed for 6 months. The scientists were in depression because the truth of their life is delayed now. The truth is they know that that coefficient that they assumed is going to be learned at the end of this experiment, and then they cannot have that truth 6 months, and they lock themselves in their office. They don't know what to do about it. And they go and ask, well, what is going to happen if at the end of this experiment, if they find that it doesn't exist, this coefficient is really not what you think about, what are you going to do? He says, I don't know. The whole my life depends on this. if it's not proved, I'm gone. All the papers that I wrote is trashed. I mean, all the teachings that I give in the university, I cannot teach anymore because it's. Can you believe how much these scientists are present in their assumptions? and then at the end of the test, the assumption is incredible, actually. It's an incredible documentary. And it's so impressive that everything depends on one assumption, and at the end of this, they actually validate the assumption. You know what their reaction, the scientists' reaction? They all cried.
I would tell.
The truth shall make you free. Shall really make you free. If you can accept it. So what? I mean, if the coefficient is not the coefficient, then you move on and you start selling tomatoes on the street. No. It's the end of the life. It's end of their life. I mean, Jean was more free than the scientists. These are all mirrors. That's exactly what I was trying to explain. See, this is it's a great opportunity. Forget the coefficient. Forget the result of the experimentation. This is an incredible mirror for the scientists. Look. I mean, your whole life depends on this experience. You kind of put yourself in such a situation that you kind of locked yourself in an assumption that you don't even want to. You cannot even further go beyond that. I mean, it's a mirror that who am I? What was my first purpose in this life? What if I made the wrong assumption? This is an opportunity for them to question themselves. That's why this life is so beautiful. Every moment is an opportunity for us to see ourselves. But they don't want to see. And even the possibility that they can see themselves as wrong, the people who made the wrong assumption, they just cannot tolerate that. I don't know what to do. If that assumption is wrong, I don't know what to do. There's no life for me. Like the lion, just you jump into the well, or Inspector Javert, he kind of jumps into the what is that? What's the name of the
Seine?
The river in Paris.
Seine.
He threw himself to it. So I won't be able to categorize people as good and bad. No, it's you should really listen to the soundtrack. He says, "A man like you cannot change. A man such as you." 2-4-6-0-1. This is his life. Imagine he came to a point that he saw that this man, this terrible man, he was chased. He dedicated his life to catch Jean Valjean. I mean, his whole virtue that he built around him, I am good because I am after this man who is terrible. And at the end, he sees that this man is much more elevated, him spiritually elevated than himself. He could have changed his life, like the scientist in this particle. His assumption fails. All what he has done throughout his life is in vain. What are you going to do? Become friend with Jean Valjean, right? You can be buddies. Then all of a sudden you saw someone really beautiful man. He sacrificed his life and saved other people. Why don't you be like him? No. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to accept it. This life has no meaning for me. Jump to the sea. Deliver self. Another opportunity for Inspector Javert. He didn't want to change. An opportunity for our lion, the king of the forest, but he's not going to change. What is blinding us? This is the question. Something is blinding us. This is unbounded ambitions that in us are blinding us. We are close to the truth. When the truth is offered, it is already offered to us in a golden glass, in a diamond glass. We are not going to drink it. We refuse it. We can't handle it. That's the problem. How am I going to open myself? How am I going to receive the truth with joy, not with pain? Right, Wahab?
That's right. So what I'm mainly struggling is the concept of whatever, if you criticize someone, certainly all of their bad qualities is in you.
You recognize.
Really struggling. Mm-hmm. Did I understand you correctly? So if I put my shape in front of him, if he, obviously I have a lot of shortcoming compared to him, and if he tells me that something is wrong with me, do I assume that whatever is wrong with me is wrong with him?
Right, good question. So, Shays are also like doctors, but the they also look at you, and then they kind of based on your behavior, based on the symptoms that you provide, they have a diagnosis about you, right? The data, the material that they use is a lot different. So it's all about, this is first of all is inspirational. The second most important thing here, what they look at and decide is what you are reflecting from you. Chase in Anarpa, Chase are given the authority to and the inspiration to be able to see what you're reflecting. You're supposed to, I mean, if you had your heart like a polished mirror, you're supposed to reflect all the beautiful qualities of Allah Ta'ala. But if you're not reflecting what you're supposed to reflect, that is being detected. It's sometimes what you are missing rather than what you have is being detected. All these qualities, someone who looks at you, someone who looks at you with love, someone who is ready to sacrifice himself for your own spiritual advancement, kind of only that person can look at you without any impediment, with open eyes, with open heart. That's why you have to find yourself a guide who not only loves you, but at the same time who is ready to sacrifice himself for your own benefit. Then there is nothing that can blind this person to see the truth in you. you know, I have nothing to do with you. I don't, you know, I cannot connect with you. I don't love you. When I look at you, I cannot see your true beauties. I only see my shortcomings in you. But if someone is really truly dedicating himself, it's not about, the me, the I disappears now. It's only you, your advancement, that changes the whole picture. It's really about looking at you and seeing the qualities that you are able to reflect and you're not able to reflect, and then finding out the reasons why. It's really about the beautiful qualities. Isma. That's why you are given ismas. That's why you are given dars. That's why you are being taught about the behavior that reflects these beautiful qualities. It's not about the shortcoming. It's about not seeing this beauty as you're supposed to reflect. Look at the example of the bishop. When bishop looks at him, he sees that beauty in him. He sees that he really doesn't want to be a thief. He understands the circumstances why he is not reflecting that, why he's ungrateful. He can see that bishop because he doesn't expect anything from him. But he sees, when he looks at Jan Baljan, he sees that under his circumstances, he could have done the same. The modesty is very important. It's not about, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do this to you. It's about, I could have done the same thing if I were in your shoes. I forgive you. Because I'm not any better than you. That's the modesty that they approach. It's not about, I am a better I'm spiritually higher. No. I'm no different than you. That's what he touches, Jan Valjean. That's how sheikhs work. I mean, sometimes they break their staff on your head, but that's also necessary to shake you up. That's part of also the education. Bottom line, as soon as you eliminate, you kind of put a. If you can distance yourself from your desires, your eyes are open. You start seeing things, the truth better. You really have to find someone that would look at you with that compassion. How you look at your children. There's always an excuse for their mistakes. And then you would definitely sacrifice yourself for the advancement of your child. You have been doing it. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that this concept should not be strange to you.
situation has to do with the harmony that the program that Allah has put it for His creatures. Yeah. If you follow it, you will see the truth. If you don't follow it, you will not see it.
Seeing and accepting and living the truth. That's if you don't, then you're disturbing the harmony. The harmony is the truth is really merged, blended with the harmony there. As soon as you separate yourself from the truth, you disturb the harmony. And then a lot of sickness, a lot of disease will start.
I mean, the example that you say about all the persons, the lines and all this stuff, this is an example that they are not with the harmony of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, which people, again?
I mean, the inspector and all.
Right. But the opportunity is given to them, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it is the opportunity for them to go with the harmony is there. They are not deprived from those opportunities. They are not deprived from part of this bigger picture. Appreciate the harmony. They are not really deprived. It's there. But he's not going to choose them. He's not going to. He prefers to blame the other person. That's the easiest part. It really, you don't have to do anything. It's just you kind of take yourself out of the picture. It's your fault. That's how Shaitan al-Lain became Shaitan al-Lain. While he was honored, while he was given a position among the other angels, while he was given the palaces with red rubies and diamonds and everything else, everything was taken from him because he was not gonna. He was not gonna take the blame to himself. He doesn't want to look at the bigger picture and accept the harmony and everything is perfect because you don't have any shortcomings or your Lord. Whatever you did must have a wisdom behind it. He wouldn't accept that. He blamed his creator rather than looking at him and said, "I did something wrong." Even if I did with his permission, with Allah Ta'ala's permission, there must be, even if he gave it to me, I am ashamed of myself for my shortcoming. Rather than saying this, he blames. It's easy. And it's an easy way out. It's a, you know, that's it. The stories of Nasreddin Hoca I like most is the story about him. You know, looking for something on a street, and then they come and ask, "What is it, Hoca? What are you looking for? Let's help you." And I lost my key, and I'm looking for my key here. "And where did you exactly lose it?" "In my basement." "And why are you looking for it?" "Because there's light here." "It's easy, there's light here. If I go there, my key is there, I know. But it's difficult to look for my key." who's gonna go into the basement, in the dark basement, and I'm gonna, you know, with rats.
So we're trapped. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, we are not sincere. He's not really sincerely looking for his key. He is just waging a war in a place where
not supposed to.
Where there's nothing.
We're trapped in our very nature.
Right.
Of arrogance and self-denial.
That's right. You have to become free, you have to clean yourself from those shortcomings. Otherwise, it will be difficult. Otherwise, you keep looking for your keys here and there, wherever you find it convenient.
I read an interesting essay this week. It was one of those things where, when I first read it, I kind of dismissed it, and then it stayed with me and stayed with me and stayed with me. And the author was basically saying that throughout the course of his life, he learned that whenever he manifested a negative quality, if you dug deeply enough, at its root, you found fear. Mm-hmm. So if he was angry at someone, it was an anger at, well, I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look wrong.
Right.
He was angry. If he was embarrassed, it was, you know, I don't want to destroy this image of myself that I have.
Yeah.
And you know, the more I thought about it, and, you know, listening, you know, and it's funny because an incident happened this week at work where somebody who had been left the restaurant 3 years ago wrote a scathing op-ed piece in the New York Times about his time at the restaurant. Really bad. And one of the things that the owner said was that, you know, he looked in the mirror and didn't like what he saw. And 3 years later, you know, and so I've been thinking a lot about this, and it's like my initial reaction was anger at his actions. And I thought to myself, deep down, I thought, you know, in part it's because I'm afraid that I was exactly the same way. I was manifesting the exact same qualities. And it's just been sticking with me the entire week. The idea that the deeper I go into when I manifest negative things, I always seem to find fear.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is very true. It is true, and you should really, once you come to this level, you should also ask the next following questions. What am I afraid of? And then if you dive into it and investigate further, behind that question you are going to find things that you are so attached, and you are going to see that you are afraid of losing those things that you kind of attach yourself to. This could be anything, but we are afraid of feeling the pain of separation from the thing we are attached to, we love so much. As soon as you relieve yourself from the attachments, or the material attachments, the physical attachments, all of a sudden you become free to receive the truth. The fear, and it's one of the worst inhibitors of success is fear.
Maybe related to the same subject. I mean, the verse in the Quran that God says that I will not change someone if he or she does not change himself. So my question is that I just am struggling with this verse and as well as the fool, that nobody could really cure the fool. So there is this closeness that you're trying to help someone, whether that person is your child, neighbor, coworker, and you pretty much know what you're trying to say to that person. Maybe not in a way that the bishop did, but you just basically, and then that also comes to my mind that I'm telling this person that he has to or she has to correct himself. Maybe those bad qualities are in me. So it's like it completely messes me up. You know, what is it that Allah says that, you know, when someone is cursed, it's cursed. I mean, they cannot change unless they try themselves. But are they capable of doing it?
First of all, I would not really volunteer for a position to correct someone. You don't start, you know, looking for shortcomings, and then you don't really start showing those shortcomings to someone to be able to heal. Bishop never ever would show the true himself to Jean Valjean. What he did was really the whole idea is, wow, I think it would be fair to say that. Help people to look at themselves with an eye of someone that they can potentially be, rather than, you know, helping them to see how ugly they are as you see it. But help them to see themselves, to see the potential in them. Help them to look at, help them to start a journey in themselves, so that when they actually looking for the truth in themselves, they can also improve. It's really not about you don't have this, you don't have this quality, you don't have that quality, how bad you are. This is Inspector Javert. This is exactly what Inspector Javert is doing. When you start doing that, it is inevitable that you are actually going to spit out your own bad qualities as if it is his. But if you have compassion, if you really want, if you truly want, you know, people actually criticize each other. But if you truly want, no, I may be bad. If you truly want, have compassion to me, you would really help me to see the potential in me so that I can work with it. There's an incredible difference between the two. Most of the time, because we feel inferior, I mean, this is a common sickness that because we don't feel we deserve certain things, or we don't feel that we are competent, we feel inferior. To be able to cover it up, we attack people. More, many people who are negative, many people who insult, who kind of attack other people. Number one reason for that is because they feel bad about themselves. They're just stepping other people so that they can rise themselves up. It's really, and then they may even go to the extent that they may be violent, just to be able to cover up the fact that the problem is them. Anger. The number one reason for anger is pride. I am superior. How can you are doing something, you're not accepting my superiority, so I'm going to do something to teach you a lesson. You attack people, you insult people so that you feel better about yourself.
It is interesting, Baba, that arrogance is described in the Quran in so many different contexts, in so many different ways. There's so much emphasis on arrogance.
It's number one evil quality. That's number one.
I mean, when I read about the history of Prophet Isa, peace be upon him, Jesus Christ, and all the miracles that Allah has given him to bring the dead back to life, to yep. cure the blind, to cure the deaf, to all of that, while his community continued to be blinded to that,
yep.
that they continued to accuse him of being a magician, and that's arrogance.
Yep. Yeah, they're not going to accept that his beautiful qualities. Yep. But that's... unfortunately, that's one of the common sickness in us, that we become so negative and anger when we really truly see that we are not as good as we thought we are. Then we kind of take the revenge. But if you are nothing, if you are modest, then if you are humble, mm-hmm. then there's no reason to fight for anything. That's the situation of the bishop.
Things like eugenics, social Darwinism. I'm not sure what is the best way to formulate this question, but I suppose that a human being comes into this earth, not out of their own accord, not of their own free will. They're born into a family they didn't necessarily choose. They're born into circumstances they didn't necessarily choose. Much of life and much of one's successes and failures are based upon all sorts of elements, all sorts of contingencies. So therefore, given this, isn't really the purpose of life to... I suppose sort of Sartre's fundamental question comes into play. What is the purpose of this life? What is the purpose of this existence? Given the precarious nature of life, isn't it not within human beings' best interest simply to eliminate themselves, to commit suicide, and therefore place a cessation to this consciousness, the pains and uncertain pleasures that it experiences, and therefore isn't essentially the purpose of life to assert one's will in whatever limited nature one can, subjugate others, build up one's ego, and in the pain and suffering of others, experience a pleasure of sorts, a superiority. Isn't really the only purpose of religion and philosophy essentially to control the sociopathic elements of the ego? Argue that were it not for religion, were it not for philosophy, a human being would have very few compelling reasons for altruism, for being considerate towards others. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, this is a school of thought, but I can argue against. I can actually argue that find evidences that some of the assumptions here are not valid. But I'm not going to go there, because the question is, what is the purpose of life as we think? This may open up a can of worms, but let me tell you simply, what is the purpose of life as we understand? First of all, when Allah Ta'ala created the creation, and even before He created the creation, He created our souls. What I'm trying to say is that actually, the reason, first of all, let's start with the reason why we are here. Before we were sent down to this physical realm, we believe we existed. Of course, our knowledge depends on what is written in our holy book and the messages that we receive from our Prophet. We existed in the realm of the souls. And as a matter of fact, when we were there, when we were not actually put into these physical temporal bodies, we existed, our souls existed, and we were at rest. We were at rest by our Creator. Gently, He asked us. He did not say, "I am your God, so from this point on, I expect everybody to worship." He did not say that. He asked a question, a very gentle question. And that question is, "Am I not your Lord?" It's a suggestion, rather more than a question. That sound, that address was so beautiful, so powerful, so appealing, so attractive that we all, by the way, when this question was addressed, you were there and I was there too. Although probably we were so close there so that we can see each other in this world as well. And then that in that realm, when this was addressed to you and to me and all, everybody else, it was really not possible with this beautiful, gentle address, it was not possible to really deny Him. And we all said, "Indeed you are. We love to be your servant." And then this life has started. But about the purpose of this life, He said, when there was nothing but Him, He said that I was a hidden treasure. A hidden treasure that nobody knew. And I loved to be known. I created the creation. And I created the creation so that you know me. You know this treasure. This treasure should not be, should not stay hidden. It should be surfaced out. Somebody has discovered this. To be able to discover this hidden treasure, I created you. But, you know, as I was talking about mirrors, as I was talking about descriptive qualities of things, how do you recognize a treasure? How do you appreciate a treasure if you don't know what treasure is all about? We are coming from a realm that nobody, we haven't seen anything. The only thing that I know is I have heard something so beautiful, so attractive that I cannot even have the power to say no. I was so attracted to this beautiful creator that I said, indeed, you are my Lord. I don't know him. I haven't seen him. I don't know his qualities. I know nothing about him. He said that if you want to accept me as your Lord, then it is your right. Go and see my qualities. So he created the creation, this physical world, so that he can reflect his own qualities and we see. But how are you going to see and recognize his beauty, the beauty of God? You have to have some qualities as well. That is, if you don't have the tools and utilities and the capacity, you cannot see God. Hazrat Ali says that only Allah, only God sees himself. So God gave us qualities from his own self, from his own qualities, so that we can recognize, differentiate what is treasure, what is not, what is beautiful, what is not. In this physical world, the purpose is, because this physical world is the mirror, that's why I recited the hadith, mu'min is the mirror of the mu'min. That is, this world and our hearts reflects the beautiful qualities of the Lord. Lord is the mu'min. We are here to see, to surface out that treasure through the reflections that we see. And we can recognize those with the qualities he gives us. The purpose is really the ultimate purpose here. When we are born, when the soul is blown into us, the qualities, when Prophet Adam was brought, was descended upon the earth, he was given all these qualities. He knew these qualities, and all these qualities passed to us so that we can use those to recognize him, that so that the treasure is not hidden anymore. That's the purpose. We believe that we are born with the potential to be good. The nafs or the ego is really helping us, because creating contrast, helping us to differentiate wrong from right. Because the desires are pulling us in one direction, putting us in certain situations, our desires are creating this contrast that we can identify him with that. Allah Ta'ala has names. One of his names is Mudil, the other one is Huda. One is really bringing you to the right path, the other one is actually avoiding you to find the right path. All these complementary qualities in life, like your ego, at the same time divine qualities exist so that we can differentiate. Contrast is necessary. That's why nafs is there. That's what we believe based on what we know, based on the teachings of our Prophet and what we read in Quran. Now, when a human being has this, if we come to accept the theory that we are not any different than animals, you know, and we have all kind of animal qualities in us. And then with those animal qualities and ego, we, you know, have this tendency to destroy us. Well, animals don't destroy themselves. Actually, even if we act like a pure animal, it would not have been possible to destroy. We would have gone with the harmony. The only time we kind of disturb the harmony is the time we use our will against the will of Allah. So the purpose is really not to use our will, but to give up our will. So we believe that giving up our will for the greater will of our Creator is the purpose, is the station that we want to be. This that station is represented by a word which is written on a calligraphy which you are sitting in front of it. So just right behind you there's a calligraphy which symbolizes the state where you give up your own will completely for the will of Allah. That's the word hijr. It's a state. The only then we will unite with the greater harmony of the truth. That's the one. I'm sorry. It moved here. It was always there. No, not that one. This one. This one. Don't confuse. Don't change the places of the countries. Yeah, we don't believe that religions are man-made in inventions. We believe that there is one religion, a message. This is the really Allah Ta'ala did not leave us in darkness. When He sent us, there is this all kind of confusion. There is the ego. There are the desires. We don't know what the answers to the important questions of why we are here. But Allah Ta'ala did not really leave us in ignorance. Allah Ta'ala did not want us to struggle with difficult questions. He also sent His guidance. And that guidance came with His prophets. There are 124,000 of prophets. They all said the same thing with different implementations because there were different times, different cultures. But they all said the same thing. They did not, they never conflicted with each other. There was only one message, the message of Him, because He wanted to be known.